The going on.
Okay, friends, I think we've begun. When I hear that voice that says recording in progress, it's a good sign. And we are dealing with the science of triangles. And I'd like to welcome those who are here. It's a difficult subject. Michael Crow and Joe Waltz are keeping me on the straight and narrow here. And I want to welcome Anne Parker and Catherine from Australia and Georgina Sprague, welcome, and Joan Schofield, Karen Gritzka, and Mariana Larson, Sweden, Nyanke Rudedink, welcome, and Vivian, welcome to you, and Yvonne, you're a regular, I'm welcoming you, and Zenaide, I think in Switzerland these days, and let's see, and Winnie from Sweden, welcome to you. Well, excuse me, I'll have these occasional little coughs. Not much I can do about it. So I assume that at the moment you are looking at some material from the book itself. It's on page 486 and 487, and there's a very interesting triangle that shows itself, and then we will also continue with the triangle that is indicated today. So let's see. It is interesting, he says, to bear in mind, as each sign, that just as each sign is divided into three decanates, you know, a 10-degree section with different rulerships and different planets associated and different tasks to perform. So DK goes on, just as each sign is divided into three decanates, which are ruled by specific planets, so the zodiac itself is part of a still greater zodiac and is also divided into three parts. Now let's see. Because immediately when you divide something into three parts, you've got a triangle going. The threefold division, DK says, of the zodiac is ruled by three constellations, which are to this greater zodiac what the planets are to the decanates. Now that's kind of you have to wrap your head around that one. Because three-part zodiac as a whole, and then within those three parts, certain rulers, which are constellations, which are more important somehow than the other ones that are found in the three divisions. The three ruling constellations are Scorpio on the fixed cross, Taurus also on the fixed cross, and Pisces on the mutable cross. So somehow he's really giving us three very important constellations. Well, they start out, you know, as constellations. By the time they their energy reaches our planet, their power is brought to us through what is called, what are called signs. And the signs, I remember from reading an early book by Alan Leo on esoteric astrology. Amazing what he put in that book back from 1917 or somewhere around there. The concentrations of Devic influence, a process, well, they're not constellations, the concentrations of Devic influence, we call signs, are like kind of slicing an orange, or maybe you don't even have to slice it. You just open it, and there are these sections of the orange. And each one is attuned to a particular constellation and brings us in a concentrated manner the energy of the constellations themselves. Now, to get the constellations direct, I think one has to pretty well be a planetary spirit, or at least operating on the monadic level and beyond. That is my impression. Okay, so what have we got? We've got three very important constellations, and of course, for us, the signs connected with them. And they are important in terms of notable individualities who have led humanity forward. And we'll recognize them as the triangle in a moment. So DK says further, this would necessarily be so because, and now he gives you a list of the kinds of things that are keynotes for our solar system. And as we read this list, just see if you sense that you are going through them in some manner, or have the sense that you have or will have gone or will go through them. So our keynotes are somewhat determining which ones of the constellations are most important in the three divisions of the entire zodiac. Now, what about all this? You know, a lot is going on in the heavens, way, way beyond even what the masters themselves know. Now, Master DK, he is very learned, at least among the masters on our planet. He is considered to be the most learned of the masters. And naturally, he's going to supply us with information that we can really not find so liberally given elsewhere. So DK now says this would necessarily be so because testing, trial, now you recognize what they go with, maybe, right? Desire, illumination, matter, form, and salvation are the keynotes of our solar system and of our Earth in particular. Now, I think that's that's something we really want to have in mind. I'm not sure when you're dealing here what is the best color to use. Maybe that's not the best color. I hate to get hung up on a color, but there it is. So that's red. Well, maybe red is good for the moment. So what are the keynotes? Think about this now, because this is something that you're going to pass through, are passing through, did pass through, will pass through. And finally, you know, Pisces is the end of it all. There are many ways to understand Pisces, but as a climactic constellation associated with the Christ, it's a very high way of understanding Pisces. There are other ways as well. It's the whole matter aspect in a certain sense. So let me repeat this. Because testing, trial, which one of us human beings does not feel we are passing through those? Because we are basically, believe it or not, a scorpionic kingdom. Leo may be the most human of all the signs, but Scorpio is where our monads, the monads of the creative hierarchy called the initiates, the Buddhic scorpionic plane is where they find their major expression at this time. So, testing and trial. And you can probably find the ways in which you are being tested. DK would probably say, well, look, if you're not being tested, why are you not being tested? Just as he said, if you're not having a crisis, why are you not having a crisis? So, testing and trial. Desire. That's so Taurian. And it's kind of opposite pole, illumination. And, you know, admittedly, there is a very material basis to Taurus as well. It's a sign of the substantiality of matter. On the other hand, the very first thing that is said to the individual newly made human being comes under the influence of Pisces, and it says, and this is important, go forth into matter. Now, the question about form, well, that seems the second aspect of divinity builds the matter into form. The matter is more connected with the third aspect. Every one of those constellations has a first, second, or third aspect expression. And form is a second aspect factor, and it builds, should we say, matter, which is quite isolative and in its own little spin is built into form. And of course, salvation we recognize. But defining salvation is very different depending upon the quality of the mind that is determining the meaning. You know, for some, you just believe in the teacher and you are saved. There's a couple of them that are that way. But for others, what is it really? Somehow, you know, entrance into Shambhala constitutes a kind of salvation, and really removing oneself from the cosmic physical plane constitutes a kind of salvation. So these are, now none of us really can be said to be at the salvation stage. We're just not there yet. That is a very demanding stage that only some masters involve themselves with. Most, as you know, end up as world servers in Aquarius, but a few are being saved and become saviors and come into a special rapport with Shambhala. Shambhala itself has much of the Pisces energy, along with Virgo, and Shambhala is the place from which go forth into matter takes place at a higher turn of the spiral. Just imagine the jiva, the descending monad in the form in which it descends, going forth into the five lower Brahmic planes, which are material. Five planes are material. One is a plane of love, that's the sixth plane, or the second. And one is a plane of will, the logoic plane. This solar system, DK goes on to say, is a system which is expressing the second aspect of divinity. It's a major solar system, right? It is the fifth in order, and yet the second major solar system meant to express the love wisdom of the soul. And a new presented attribute on a very high level. Now, oftentimes, presented attributes are considered simply a psychological type of meditation for the individual. But the great attribute of love wisdom can also be a presented attribute for beings much higher than the little individual being. So, it expresses the second aspect of divinity, and then DK goes on to say, and hence the emphasis upon the forces pouring through Scorpio, Taurus, and Pisces. Whoa, that's a real ponder on this, isn't it? Now, Scorpio is connected with Sirius, and Sirius is locally for us a cosmic Christ. There are other and greater cosmic representatives. Taurus is the second sign of the zodiac and brings in not only the factor of knowledge, but the factor of wisdom. It's the constellation or sign of the Buddha, the Lord of Wisdom. And about Pisces, there's just no question. It is the final heart constellation and summarizes in itself second aspect development. So we did a little bit of pondering on this. Okay. Our solar system is a system which is expressing the second aspect of divinity, and hence emphasis on these three forces. Ponder on this. It's also our solar system is also a very Deva solar system. In our solar system, there are many more Devic units than human units. And the divine feminine is connected with these Deva units. What is it, 140 billion Deva units and 60 billion human units? And notice how when you combine the two, you get 200 billion. Well, the number two for love wisdom is there. A hint is there conveyed anent our zodiac, which is of extreme importance to the astrologer of the future. Well, I think we're going to have to go deeply to find that hint, but each one of those constellations, Scorpio, Taurus, Pisces, carries a connection in different ways to the great second ray, which is featured in our solar system. So we could, you know, go further. Every time he says, here's a hint, it's a real invitation to get into it and understand why it might be so. Now, another point. In the cosmic decanates to which I here refer, it will be found, and here's the practical part, that three great sons of God have expressed for us the quality, the keynote, and the development which is expressive of each decanate. Now, maybe we are familiar with this triangle, but it is, in terms of world teachers, it's very important. We have to realize that Hercules also was a teacher by writing the great dramas back in Atlantean times, millions of years ago. And he basically educated people to understand the progress of the soul. I think, I'm not sure where I'm gathering this from, but maybe from the Destiny of the Nations, that he was a first-rate soul, yes, but a second-ray personality. The Buddha, a second-ray soul, a first-ray personality, and the Christ, a second-ray soul with a sixth-ray personality and a first-ray mind. The Buddha also had a very strong connection with the first ray. When Master Moria refers to the Buddha, he calls him the lion. Well, the king of beasts, you know. So the first ray is there, and the austere type of wisdom expounded by the Buddha had a close connection with the detachment of the first ray. So here we have three of our great teachers. Hercules, from longer ago than we can really imagine, identified with Scorpio, and the keynote here is strength through testing. Now, the soul, what we are, that is, has to develop strength as it goes around the zodiac. That strength is needed to complete the labors of the soul. And so often they are very challenging. And if the Tibetan is to be believed, there are a number of these tests, experiences, which Hercules fails. He fails somewhat in Aries. He fails to a degree in Virgo. Those two are notable. Then it is that the Tibetan stopped writing, and it was taken over by other students of mythology to complete the book. So I don't know whether there were other failures, but notable are the failure in Aries and in Virgo. And then here comes what the Buddha gave us, and what he gave to the planet, really: illumination through struggle. Now, I want to say that sometimes when you consider the methods of meditation, we strangely find, perhaps strangely, the factor of illumination associated with Scorpio. There is the light, there is the dark, and Scorpio helps us overcome the glamours and illusions, dispelling the glamours, or rather the illusions, and dissipating the glamours, and therefore illumination results. But typically, illumination is coming through Taurus. I mean, there's a lot of Taurus people that don't live up to that. they're still involved with desire-ridden struggle. They still want to fulfill their personal desires, and that's still a long way from achieving the goal of illumination. In other words, their struggles have not yet borne fruit. Now, with Pisces and the Christ, first, you know, we get the result, and then we get the means. Resurrection through sacrifice. I'm reminded of Master Moria saying, when have you ever become less through sacrifice? And it gives one pause to think. In terms of the real values, sacrifice brings us to them. We may have lost some superficial attachments along the way, but in terms of really being lifted up onto the monadic plane, onto the logoic plane, which is the true resurrection, sacrifice is the mode. So let's just ponder for a few moments the role that these methods and these results play in our life, our present life. So three great teachers, three great sons of God. You know, when we think about Hercules, we say, well, he wasn't a teacher. He was a strong man. But he taught the acquisition of strength. And in each one of those dramas that he wrote, he probably had, you know, strong fourth ray as well. There is a testing that occurs. So in what way are we being tested? That is a question for each of us to answer. I'm going on a bit, but keep these three in mind. Keep this triangle in mind, because the exponents here of these methods have taught and redeemed millions of people. So going on with the Tibetan, in a peculiar sense, these three constitute a triangle of initiation and are of paramount potency in the initiation process. They express strength, illumination, and love in full expression. Now we can, you know, if you go to my book, video book called The Egoic Lotus, you will discover how the different signs may pertain to each of the initiations. But there are certain associations which are traditional. Scorpio is traditionally associated with the second initiation, even though its peculiar testing presence is available at initiations 1, 2, and 3. Now, with Taurus, again, the second initiation is the one with which it is most associated. But we could say that as we rise into higher forms of light expression, that Taurus is involved, and there's a Taurian factor involving Shambhala. And when we celebrate the Waisak festival, that greatest light of Taurus is found related to the greatest light of Shambhala. So in a way, that's a very high expression of Taurus. When it comes to Pisces, well, it does lead us into the possibility of the first initiation. It helps transfer us off the mutable cross and onto the fixed cross, even though it itself is on the mutable cross. But then we can go even higher and find that the sacrifices of the fourth initiation and the possibility of entering Shambhala as a savior, fifth initiation, will give some of the higher indications of Pisces. So what we remember then, as that's important, strength, illumination, and love in full expression. Okay. Now, maybe we go on just a little more to the triangle Taurus, Leo, and Aquarius, and basically Starling Hunter has provided us with these references. He's probably the man who, among all that with whom we are familiar, that has given the greatest attention to the triangles and what they mean. So we have this triangle, Taurus, Leo, and Aquarius. Now, immediately you will recognize all these signs as fixed signs, or the constellations as fixed constellations. They have to do with the fixed cross. Usually they provide quite a bit of reckoning with the blinding light of Taurus, the fiery pain, the so-called sacred pains of Leo, and finally, Scorpio has been left out of this enumeration, but we have the liberation to be found in Aquarius. So one of the 9 major triangles affecting consciousness in this cycle. Number 5 is here, and there's a type of knowledge which is the property of the Aryan root race, understood in its proper manner, not the way the Nazis understood it at all. But there is this knowledge factor in which we are engaged right now. And we're told that there is an expression here of the life of humanity. Another triangle is coming up. There are just so many. It's a big, maybe we can think of it, friends, as a cosmic group process. You know, we sit in a room, or we have a Zoom call, or we have something that puts us in touch, and we say, hey, it's a it's a group process. But in the higher reaches, there are planets that form groups. There are constellations of the zodiac which form groups. And there are, I left one out, solar logoi that form groups. And then come the constellations which form groups. And we will eventually find galaxies and families of galaxies finding the higher groups, or at least interacting with each other in that manner. So we're still here on this same page, page 487, and we can go back here for a moment. So let's do that, because it leads into the Taurus Leo Aquarius triangle just mentioned. Leo, says the Tibetan, appears again in this world situation as part of a triangle of crisis. Why would that be? For the combination of the 3 constellations involved invariably produces crisis. Basically, he's saying when you combine Taurus, Leo, and Aquarius, you have crisis. But first, he deals with Leo, Libra, and Capricorn. And even though There are some enumerations which say that there is no real crisis in Libra. The crisis of decision is always with us. We're born into Leo. We are individualized. We come to ourselves. We know ourselves to be something distinct. And then we go through the experience of the scales, and a decision is made. And depending on how the scales tip, we can enter the crisis of initiation. So different signs dominate, or different constellations dominate a triangle at different times, just the way different planets dominate a planetary triangle. Leo, when dominating the triangle, which is not always apparently, produced in the past the crisis of individualization. This is when the animal man comes to himself and knows himself to be a distinct entity. Now, our problem there, of course, is if that gets overemphasized, we have a state of narrowness, pride, personal insulation, personal solitude of the wrong kind. But as long as we know that Leo was instrumental in this crisis of individualization, some 3,000 years after Sagittarius, a sign of animal man, got the process going. So, okay, later in human history, when the point of balance was reached, Leo was again potent. What shall we become through our decision in Libra? Shall we simply continue to be a normal human being, or shall we, under this fifth sign, Leo, or constellation, enter the fifth kingdom of nature? So there are people right now dealing with this question. Can they enter the fifth kingdom of nature? So, going on with the Tibetan, HPB pointed out that there came a time when the balance was reached between spirit and matter. Now, that's a very Libran thing, isn't it? And going on, and from that time on, the tendency of humanity was towards evolution, out of matter, and not involution into matter. This was an important decision. It led not only to Capricorn, it led to a preliminary phase we can call Scorpio. You have to learn how to kneel in all humility, and then initiation becomes possible. And the same when we look at the predecessor of that decision. Leo is there, but then so is Virgo. So Virgo often gives people the chance, and it's too bad if that chance is followed, to slide back into material living under the mantram, let matter reign. So we have Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, and we have as well Leo, Libra, and Capricorn. These are triangles of transition. Okay. Going on with the Tibetan, humanity turned toward the path of return. Now, Libra is so important. It gives us this crisis of awakening the Sushumna channel up the spine, from the center of will to the center of purpose. It's, well, we say the path of return. It's not an external thing. It's part of your own anatomy, bringing you to a higher expression of the higher parts of your nature. So it was not then, says the Tibetan, the path of outgoing. There's an old saying, it goes like this, and he shall go no more out. Now that means you reach a point when reincarnation is no longer a necessity. And that probably happens if we are successful at the fourth initiation. So DK says, this has become increasingly apparent. Today, I guess first we're dealing with his Leo, Libra, Capricorn, and then with Taurus, Leo, Aquarius. But first, Leo, Libra, and Capricorn. Today, Capricorn is producing a final crisis. In the long, long history of humanity, a crisis of initiation and the possibility of this crisis proving effective and producing, as I was trying to say, and producing the appearance of a new kingdom of nature, right? That would be the fifth kingdom of nature. A new kingdom of nature on Earth is steadily becoming more and more possible, and there are some, our teachers and so forth, who are already members of that new kingdom. I would like here, he says, to remind you of an earlier reference to still another triangle in which Leo is active, and to another of the great triangles confronting humanity. And then we have our Taurus, Leo, and Aquarius. Fixed cross triangle. But at the same time, we have to remember the Taurus, Leo, and Pisces triangle. So many of them, depending on the task that we have undertaken. So we go into this fixed sign triangle, or fixed constellation. Taurus, Leo, Aquarius. Earth, fire, and air. So, let's look at how he sees this. He says Taurus, Leo, Aquarius. Taurus incites, I guess that word is deliberate, stimulates, incites towards experience and towards the gaining of knowledge, the highest form of aspirational idealism is found in Taurus, and we go forth to acquire. Taurus is so good at gathering together the substance that it needs. In this particular case, it's knowledge. It's also associated with wisdom, but then so is Aquarius, rather Virgo, with the cultivation of wisdom. Okay, that's what Taurus does. Leo leads to the expression of that experience in daily life and to the effort to justify knowledge. I mean, we may think we know a lot, but does it really work? Have we actually shown through our experience that the knowledge garnered in Taurus actually has application in our three worlds? So this is a form of expression, and it leads us to cross various burning grounds before initiation, on our way to a higher state, and hence is connected with the fiery pain found in Leo. As for Taurus, overwhelming light, how is that expressed? Blinding light. When we're hit by all this knowledge, it's too much for our absorptive apparatus, and we are blinded. Now, it kind of reminds one of St. Paul, or Paul on the road to Damascus, and D.K. says he was blinded. The record confirms that he was blinded for 3 days. I don't know how much Taurus he had in his chart. He certainly had a lot of Scorpio. But remember, Scorpio too can be connected with illumination. Libra contemplation, Scorpio illumination, Sagittarius inspiration, and Capricorn initiation. And what about Aquarius? Aquarius takes that experience of working with the knowledge and the knowledge gained thereby, because the more you justify what knowledge you have, the more knowledge you gain, and turns it to conscious use in the service of the group. Conscious use in the service of the group. We distribute the knowledge we have justified and of which we can be sure. So here's DK looking at this again. Taurus, in the final stage of development, not in the beginning, because then it's filled with darkening desire, you know, the black bull and the white bull, the contrast between them. So Taurus, in the final stage of development, demonstrates as the illumined consciousness. Well, maybe we feel this every Waisak, when the forces of enlightenment are so strong. And DK, in the Dyna 2 book, he describes how high these forces of light or enlightenment can be. Taurus is very earthy and personally bound in one sense, but in another sense is connected with the great light of Shambhala. So DK is telling us, we might phrase it this way, Leo produces the truly self-conscious man. But notice, and I'm sure you do, that the self is capitalized. So Leo is not simply producing personality consciousness as it does in the beginning. It is producing true self-consciousness of the soul. And Aquarius is the man of spirit, of life, and of consecration to the divine expression of service. There are many things we may know and have proven within ourselves, but do we express them in a divine manner, according to the divine plan, and as much as possible under the divine purpose? All right. Well, there's more, and I don't think we need to get into that right now. I want to go back here and see where we are. Yeah, this is the list that Starling gave to us. And I think we get the idea. Now, you know, there's also another triangle of testing, we might say, of Taurus, Leo, and Scorpio, with Aquarius being a sign of liberation. in which we are not tested in those challenging ways as we are in the triangle, Taurus blinding light, Leo fiery pain going across the burning ground, and Scorpio bitter woe. Now I think you do understand that all of these different constellations can be looked at on different levels, and they mean different things on different levels. And this is the whole thing about being an esoteric astrologer or rheologist. You're working with someone at what stage of evolution do they stand? This is a key factor. Now, I'm not saying we're so good at determining where they stand, but maybe we're learning. And it doesn't mean necessarily that we should be judgmental. Not at all. It's just that we have to have some kind of idea if we're going to operate effectively on their behalf. So this is the end of this part. It's the 13th. Is that it? 13th of October, 21, and it's program 104, I guess, and 5 GMT, and we're starting with program number 105 at some point. I think, what did you say, Michael? Did you say?
It's November 17th.
Wow, that's a long time from now. Okay. But, okay. It is what it is. And we'll be reading from the book. And we'll be also speculating about things. And I hope, friends, that this is seeping into your consciousness. It's a big deal, this science of triangles, and there are so many interconnections. And you're not locked into just one connection. It depends on the level at which the energy is being applied. So Taurus at once can be a very relatively low and material desire-filled energy. And from another point of view, it can be that blazing light that comes forth at Waisak from Shambhala. Now your job, my job, we have to find out at what level we are using these constellational and sign energies. Okay. Okay, so hopefully for all of us, something is sinking in. And I just want to make sure that I'm still doing this correctly. Now, do you have any thoughts that you would like to share, write down? speak about something relevant to your life, perhaps. Remember that when your sun, moon, and rising sign feature some of these triangles, or, you know, other triangles as found in your chart, something in relation to the lesson of these triangles is going on. Now, you can make triangles out of any three differentiated signs, but DK has a few that he considers really important, and that's what he is presenting to us. So, are there any questions or thoughts about what we have covered up to this point?
Yes, so Mirde asks, would it be appropriate to look for these triangles in our natal charts and people's natal charts added to the transits and progressions?
Sure, absolutely. Sometimes you really find them, and I would think, since we know from the Tibetan something of what is to be produced by these triangles, perhaps indeed some of them are at work within our natal chart. And especially if they deal with the sun, moon, rising sign, or deal with the sun sign, the sign opposite the sun sign, and the rising sign, or maybe they deal with the sun sign, the ascendant, and the descendant, because I have a sense that if the ascendant takes us closer to the soul, I begin to think, and the sun is pretty much expressive of the personality, at least in the natal chart, that the sign opposite the rising sign begins to take us into the spiritual triad. So, personality, soul, spiritual triad would be another such. I mean, look, you can always find triangles in your chart. The question is, will they be among the triangles which DK specifically discusses? Because then you may find yourself at a certain stage of unfoldment which he is emphasizing. To know our stage of unfoldment, more or less, is a very important thing, and knowing something about the triangles can help us with that. And also, with regard to the people that we are trying to assist, because many of us are in the teaching, counseling line. And therefore, we want to make sure we are functioning accurately as possible. Anyway. So, in the astrology of the future, the science of triangles will be uniquely important. It's not that we necessarily know all the ways we can use it, at least at this time, but it will be one of the great methods of esoterically interpreting the chart. Is there anything else?
Mirei asks another question. Why Master DK stopped at Virgo and was Dane Rudyar continued? Is Dane Rudyar the one who continued the other signs?
No, Dane Rudyar was not. It was, he actually stopped at Libra. In this way, he wrote out the Libra labor. But Alice Bailey died before that could be completed, and so some other student took that up and trying to finish. And then there was a kind of mythologist by the name of Francis Merchant, a man, who did his best to kind of present the labors in the style that DK was writing. Now, you know, you just cannot be DK in these matters. And Merchant, he did, I think, pretty well. But we have no idea the completeness with which DK would have written. And then as far as the interpretations went, I think quite a bit of Alice Bailey's old writings were pulled in to try to give some illumination to what Francis Merchant had said in a mythological manner. I remember a funny little incident where Mary Bailey was commenting on the labors of Hercules and what Francis Merchant had done. And she said, well, he's trying to out-Tibetan the Tibetan. You know, what are you going to do? You're faced with a huge challenge. Take a look at the complexity of the labor in Gemini. Who's going to be writing that? Not an ordinary human being with ordinary human knowledge, even if fairly well schooled in mythology. So he did his best. And for the moment, that's what we have. Now, if the Tibetan decides to expand that, then we will have something else. The Tibetan stopped at Libra. No, he didn't write the labor in Scorpio, no. And you'll notice that so many of the early labors are fairly lengthy. There's so much to put in them. And the Francis Merchant writings are necessarily shorter. This is my understanding, that following Libra, which he did not comment upon because Alice Bailey had passed on, everything was put down mythologically by Francis Merchant. And I think, really, he did a very good job. Now, we'll see whether DK rests content with that in his new installment, starting around 2025, or whether he wants to enlarge the labor, carrying it further. He may, who knows, or may not. Okay. By the way, I want to tell you, too, that I'm working on getting some books to you now, starting again. This time, telepathy in the etheric vehicle. I've got a few hiccups already, but Michael Crow is helping me overcome those. I've had some stalls on my computer and freezes, and the first couple of programs are a little shorter than I intended because of computer freezes, but they will be available on Makara and maybe to a certain extent on YouTube once everything is stabilized. Anything else, friends?
Yeah, just to update on that. I just read the email, but Harold has posted the first one and created the playlist for telepathic. Okay. I just need to edit the newest one you have.
Good. I'm glad you're working on it because, this stuff is beyond me technically. And when I found myself in a freeze, I had to turn the whole computer off and start again. And then when I started again the next day, something similar happened. So, but we'll get beyond the first few hiccups, and it's a wonderful little book and will give us information that we cannot, find elsewhere, really. Okay, what do we got?
Miri again. Dear Michael, my students, and I see so many people claiming to be channeling Master DK's work. It is so heart-punching. Any lights on that for us?
Yes. They are not channeling Master DK's work. He says he's looking for no new secretaries at the time, and not until 2025 will there be some movement on the new installment. And I judge if people are sharp, perspicacious, they will see the difference between the words coming out of the ordinary self, subconscious mind of the student. He said about 96% can be accounted for in that way. And then most of the rest has to do with the greater sensitivity of the Eastern student. So there may be a few things that are legitimate, but they are not really channeling the new installment or anything like that. It's just people running away with hopefulness and with an ego, lower ego, which prevents them from properly discriminating. In fact, they are simply ambitious. Now, they don't like to hear that, and they're quite convinced that this is the real DK. They open up their tablets and start talking about what DK has told them, but it's worth what it's worth. I've sometimes said, you could write this. You're bright in the teaching. You could write this. And when DK speaks, as he spoke in Initiation Human and Solar, you know that the human being who is a student could not say these things convincingly as they have been said. So I would just advise that the students read what TK said about when he's going to start again and adopt an attitude of more humility than they have at the moment. That's my recommendation.
That's all so far. No hands, no other comments or questions.
Is there something, can we have the link of the book, movie, whatever that is? What is that?
The playlist on YouTube.
Is that what it is? Okay. Okay, it looks like it. And there's Makara here and so forth. Now, you know, I myself was a little disappointed that I was kind of stopped either by my own technical in expertise or by something, but I'll get going, and that book will start shaping up as we go. There's been just a tremendous amount to do here. But that's trailing off just a little bit. And I'm glad of that, because I'd like to get back to you. Okay, the new book on YouTube that Tia seems to be asking for, Telepathy as It Will Be Found on YouTube. And I don't even know how to get there.
Actually, but I think Tia is saying that some have noted that Master DK's work has a certain healing frequency or vibratory note when you read it.
I don't doubt that. It certainly helps me, you know, when I'm feeling down health-wise and so forth, then reading his work and sharing it does, for me, have a very healing and uplifting effect. Of course, people can be uplifted by various statements from various masters, but there's a vibration which comes from his ashram, and as you say, no one can really copy that. So that's reassuring. Okay, friends, is that it then?
Yeah, I just posted both YouTube and Makara, and Miri says, totally, I feel the energy. It touched my heart so strongly. I have to pace as I read. The frequency is so strong that many of my students ask for help on helping them to read.
Yeah. Well, that's the real discrimination. And I can only hope that when it comes time for Master DK to write again, however he will do it, and using whatever amanuensis he may use, that people are more discriminating than they have been when that happened in earlier theosophical times. They dismissed that writing. And then, as I learned, read in the closet at night. So, it's peculiar, you know. Is there really something there? Publicly, I can't say so, but is there really something there? And many theosophists learned there was really something there. Okay, so we'll do some work on group discrimination as the time approaches, and hopefully we'll be able to identify the wheat from the chaff and the real thing from the spurious imitations based on personality and often just ambition and lower ego. And the quality, it just doesn't do anything for you, you see? The person can be very bright. You might learn a little of this and that, but nothing is gained by claiming that it's from Master Decay. It's just calling attention to yourself. What good is that? Well, okay. All right, then, it looks like that's it for the moment. I do want to thank you all for being here, and I'll just continue as best I can to provide material for you with the help of the stalwart communications team. So much help from Michael and Joe and BL and Michael Stacy often and others that help us. I'm grateful to you all. And my hope is that this recording took. Lately, I say, have I really done the recording? Okay. But I think we're okay. So I'm going to stop this recording. Okay. And then I'll leave and Michael will close everything down. And lots of love and many blessings from all of us who are trying to fathom the profound work of Master DK.